Maybe you have too. Or maybe you are in the early stages of contemplating doing the same. Once you've opened your mouth and the words have come out, you can never go back. But you won't want to. At first, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I was so sure the current political climate, including the accompanying science denial, policy changes, mob mentality, shaming, and allegations of hate speech would only be a temporary thing. The pendulum could only swing so far in one direction for so long. Certainly it would be swinging back. And so I waited. I'm still waiting. Instead, this false and unscientific way of thinking continues to spread beyond the silo of academia and education, permeating the mainstream press, medicine, scientific organizations, entertainment, social media, law, and tech. There are no signs of turning back. It's not a question of whether you will encounter this ideology in your life, but to what extent and how willing you are to recognize that it's happening. Before I dive into the nitty-gritty details about the science of gender and how it applies to our lives in the context of so many issues today, I'll tell you about the thought process that led me here, from my time as an academic sex researcher to the moment I began putting these words on a page. Few people will tell you that doing a PhD is a good idea, especially if they have one themselves. Graduate school consists of countless long nights and weekends spent working, goalposts constantly shifting, and endless bureaucracy, only to contend with an unpredictable job market upon graduating. Most graduates who leave the academy will get a job in industry, one that is relevant to their specialization. Few will start over in a completely unrelated field, like journalism, as I did. My eventual decision to abandon the ivory tower was the result of the political climate shifting in ways I could have never predicted. In an ideal world, scientists wouldn't have to worry about the political implications of their work. Sex research is controversial by nature, and sex researchers are used to contending with interference coming from both sides of the political aisle. But while there is much backlash whenever the political right tries to meddle with sex science and science more broadly, when the political left starts suppressing science, most people look the other way. It's important to note the difference between sex research and sexology, my former field, and other academic disciplines, like gender or women's studies, because they are not the same. Sex research refers to scientific disciplines that use quantitative, numbers-based methods, including statistics, to understand human sexuality and gender. Related disciplines include biology, psychology, neuroscience, and medicine. When done properly, sex research is rigorous because science is designed to eliminate bias and confounding variables so that you know that what you found is legit. Gender studies tends to use qualitative methods like interviews and autoethnographies, which are like diary entries. It is not a scientific discipline. Although there are definitely gender scholars who are careful and rigorous with their work, many others are not fans of the scientific method. This battle between scientific and anti-scientific enterprises plays out in meaningful ways, as we'll see. And as left-leaning science denial continues to gain a greater foothold in the academy, research challenging progressive narratives has become increasingly precarious territory. It isn't as though scientists are intentionally publishing controversial research findings with the desire to upset and offend people. But the fear of potentially discovering something that hasn't been given the progressive stamp of approval has certainly become a larger factor influencing the types of questions a researcher chooses to pursue or avoid. Contrary to what you might expect, most sexologists, including me, who oppose these winds of political change, are liberals. Don't get me wrong, I loved my research, and sexology had become my intellectual home. At the time, I was using brain imaging techniques, including functional magnetic resonance imaging, or fMRI, to better understand paraphilias, which are unusual sexual preferences, sexual orientation, and hypersexuality in men. As someone who is surprisingly old-fashioned and vanilla, that is, non-kinky, in my